Fox at the top, Fox at the bottom, live and local right now.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area on one radio station. Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Live and local, John Potter, each and every Saturday, 9 to noon on these radio stations. Current temperature in Reno, 40 degrees. Carson City, 39. Yerington, 41. South Lake Tahoe, current temperature, 39 degrees. Now for some numbers that are even more important. Gas is down to, let's see here, you can find $3.23 gas in Reno Sparks. In Carson City, $2.75, and in Yerington, $2.55 gas is now down to. 884-9910 is the number to call. We have another local show tomorrow morning. It's Nevada Backcountry. That's 10 o'clock in the morning until 11 with our good friend. I'm going to get what? What's that? Henry, I was about to get in real trouble. It's an old man mind. You don't know where it goes sometimes. Let's go to the phones. Dr. Kelly is calling from Kings Beach. Comments about me. What did I say, doctor? Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Professional help is here. Just kidding. Hey, I just wanted to thank you so much for your years of work and dedication. And again, just thanking you for that. And then comments, even though I'm not a firsthand eyewitness to that USA Parkway, I've heard lots of comments and warnings from locals that have been in the area for decades, half a century or more, and that it is just a big hazard and a big headache, and I'm not exactly sure why, but during certain hours, I guess rush hour, there are accidents and injuries and property damage, and I would just encourage folks to consider taking your time and allowing extra time, paying full attention to what's going on around you and not be distracted. In my location, I observe lots of people texting and driving at the same time, and I just am kind of shocked and need to lift them up in prayer so that no one is harmed because of their choices and behaviors.
You're right, you are. You beat folks. Dr. Kelly, thank you so much for calling in with that reminder. People need to hear this stuff. I'll never forget taking one of those, was it a Greyhound or something? I was going to San Francisco and riding and seeing you sit up way above all the cars as you're going on this bus. And I happened to look down as we were crossing through Sacramento, looking down. This was at night, and almost, I would say, 8 out of 10 drivers were looking at their phone. You could tell because it was nighttime, and you could see the glow from their phones looking down at the cars through the window. That just shocked the heck out of me to see that, and I'm not exaggerating. 8 out of 10 on the highway. All right, let's go to John calling from Sparks. Hey, John, welcome to the show. I'm glad you called, John. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, you were talking about the price of gas in Reno.
Yes.
Did you know that the governor's really upset about it? He's so upset that he has commissioned a panel to look into...
Oh, yeah.
How to bring the prices down.
Yes, we talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Well,
not only on our local
latest
news, but we were talking, of course, the story with the refineries closing, and these are refineries that supply us gas. I think a couple closed already, and one's about to, the Valero. Anyway, go ahead, John.
Well, from what I understand, the governor has is going to come to a conclusion that gas needs to come out of Salt Lake City, and Salt Lake gets theirs from Oklahoma. So you might see a nice big convoy of trucks coming into Elko and depositing in Elko, and then Reno will get their gas out of Elko.
Yeah, this is why gas in Wendover is $1.99. That gas is from Utah. What's closing these refineries in California, you can guess what it is the regulation and fees that have been placed upon these refineries. So it costs, okay, Californians a lot of money, I can understand that, but that decision affects Nevadans. What the governor is doing with regulations and such affects Nevadans, and it's a horrible thing. The last I heard about this pipeline from Utah was that it's a proposal. You sound like it's more of a done deal, though.
Well, I'm not saying it's a pipeline. I'm saying that they're going to gas or haul gas in and petroleum products into the Elko area, and then from Elko, they'll spread it out to the rest of the state.
All right.
That's what I'm...
encouraging news.
Yeah, so it's not a pipeline. It's more of just a trucking expedition. I mean, you see all of the gas stations like Extra Mile, Maverick, on and on and on. They're getting their gas out of Elko already, or not out of Elko, out of Salt Lake already. So it's everybody else that's going to hit the tank farm and then get distributed from there.
Love hearing this. Okay, John, I appreciate your call. Thank you for the call from Sparks. We're going to take a break and handle all these calls that are lined up here. We'll get to yours next. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 11:13.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
Government is bad and government is evil.
99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk, KKFT.
News, talk, truth.
FM News Talk Time is 11:16. John Potter live and local each and every Saturday. Glad to hear from you as we talk all stuff local, good and bad. Let's go to Corey calling in from Sparks at 884-9910 about the traffic on 80. I hope you have a solution for us, Corey, as we go to your phone call. Oh, there we go. Oh, hey, hi, Corey. Go ahead.
Hey, so I drive that road a lot every week. I don't work out there, but I take a lot of stuff out there. It's a combination. Like, the semi-drivers that weigh 50, 60,000 pounds, a lot of those guys are going 8 miles an hour on that road. And then you have a lot of these really, I hate to say it, the younger drivers who are also going 75, 80 miles an hour on that road. And the problem is there's nowhere for the highway patrol to really police it and pull somebody over at. So they don't monitor a huge stretches of it because there's nowhere to pull you over. You know, there's no shoulder or anything like that. But the other thing is that connector they're talking about to connect Spanish Springs out there to USA Parkway, those talks started like 5 years ago, 4 years ago, because I had to sit in on some of those meetings, and it was going to be called the La Posada Connector, and they had all this support from like the Army Corps of Engineers and stuff, and it all got shot down, but now they're back pushing it again, and I guarantee you all those people in Spanish Springs that live along that path of La Posada, they didn't sign up for what they're proposing. Like, it's unfair to that whole community to start running all that traffic right through their neighborhood and out around Gold Eagle Park.
Well said, Corey, but where do you think it should go then?
Well, I think what they need to do is they need to find the places along 80 where they can widen it and put in various...
I know, but I see a lot of areas where you can't, like between Lockwood and Avista. There's no room on either side. You have the ditch falling down to the river on one side and, of course, the rock walls on the other. Go ahead.
And sorry, that's also a big part of why when there is an accident, even a minor fender bender on that road, it's catastrophic to the traffic. There's nowhere for anybody to go. And that's the problem. They just need to dig into the hill or go over the edge and provide an extra path. You know, maybe it's something like where they do in other places in the States where it's, say, five lanes, and they use that fifth lane in one direction during one part of the day, and they use it the other direction the other part of the day. I don't know. But running all that traffic through those people's homes and neighborhood and up through the mountains, I don't think is a solution either, though.
You mentioned how many years it takes. I remember asking a highway engineer back before the days of the warehouses along 395 North Valley. So they were talking about widening 395. This is a long time ago. And I asked him, I said, how long does it take from proposal approved to finished highway to do 8 miles, say, of a highway? And he said 13 years.
Yeah, I was going to say 10. Years.
Drives me nuts because in China, you know, they do this in less than a year.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and honestly, a lot of it comes down to, like, if you think about it, how much manpower. Like, you can build a home in 3 or 4 days if you throw 50 people at it, or you can throw 3 guys on and have it take a year and a half.
Well, you know? Yeah, a lot is constant hearings and regulations and press conference. And they don't do that in China. They just decide to do it, and it's there. Efficiency, but you got to trade off for that. I appreciate the call, Corey. Have yourself a good day.
Hey, I wanted to touch on what you guys were talking about, the fact that, let's see, the Southeast Connector, you know, between Sparks Boulevard and Veterans Parkway.
Yeah.
Veterans Parkway was where it's at. That was, people were complaining who lived in Hidden Valley that they didn't know it was coming. Well, it's been on the books since, it was on the books since 1965.
I know.
It happened.
I know.
So it took them from 1965 to 2000.
Well, to be fair,
to do it,
the population from 1965 to now, I mean, it's mainly newcomers. And of course, they weren't around to hear about it in the 60s and 70s. But I know exactly it. I remember in 76, it was all the talk about building this thing. And
well, in 76, there was the talk about McCarran going all the way around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that didn't start until the early 80s.
Yeah, McCarran, when I got here in 76, was, I think, just one quarter built. And it, I think the first segment they built was between the highway and Virginia Street. And that stretch had no traffic lights. And the motorcyclists, man, they loved it. They would be going up and down that loop of McCarran all the time. But there was a lot of opposition to McCarran.
And the last stretch of McCarran, bit of history, the last piece of McCarran that was done was from 4th Street down to Lakeside Drive. That was the last piece.
Craig, 1978, they extended what was 395. Now it's 580. 1978 or 77, they extended that highway from Plum to Moana, and it was a huge deal.
Well, I remember the fact that when they built the Reno Town Mall, Old Town Mall, which is now Reno Town Mall, when they built that, the road in front of it was dirt road between on Peckham from Virginia Street to the Baker Lane.
I remember people hunting for quail where Meadowood Mall is now.
Oh yeah, and Redfield, the Redfield Parkway was the Redfield Ranch was, and that was Manzanita South.
Yeah,
Reno was ended at Peckham and Manzanita, and then jogged over a little bit to Manzanita.
After Peckham at night, it was dark down there going south. Yeah, and I also remember if you were driving to Carson Valley from Reno, there'd be the lights of Reno. Then it would be darkness all the way, a couple of ranch houses, Washoe Valley, but basically all the way to Carson City. And then you would drive from Carson City to Gardnerville in total darkness. No lights in between those places.
And between Reno and Carson, it was two-lane highway.
We're blowing people's minds here. I'll tell you what, the listeners are thinking, what a bunch of old farts are on the radio.
No kidding, right?
It's funny you mention this. And Mr. Excitement, by the way, that is me, is going shoe shopping today. We met friends for dinner at Skipolini's last night, and my sandals attracted too much attention. So I'm going shoe shopping, and day like today, when I was here in the 1970s, I'd be getting a new pair at Kinney Shoes at Park Lane Mall. I would be stopping for lunch, I think, at Arctic Circle, and then I will pick out a movie at Major Video. I probably could pick up a new shirt at Lerner's department store, too, downtown, or go to Shopko or the discount JCPenney's in Sparks. Man, I still have shirts from that place. But we've lost an awful lot in our town, and we just lost two places yesterday, and we're losing one today. Zagol Ethiopian Cuisine is closing. Today at 4 is going to be the farewell feast at the Mira Loma Shopping Center. I used to go when Zagol's was on 4th Street yesterday after 24 years in business. Friday was the last day for Rick's Deli on Double R near Sand Hill in Reno. Rick's, the actual menu item was called Forgot to Bring Lunch, and that was their best-selling item. I loved the Wall Street with pesto mayo, the Godfather, and the Dutch Schultz was about the best cold sandwich ever created. And in Minden, the Human Bean Coffee Shop, right there on the main drag, 395, Human Bean closed just yesterday for good. And sadly, it is a common story around town. A new company, you know, bought out the strip mall, and commercial tenants say they're being priced or otherwise forced out. We have lost, and my God, this is a long list. Unbelievable. Okay, Blind Dog Tavern, Pizza Reno, Smith and River, the Cafe Coffee Shop, Mellow Fellow, and the Sweat Reno Gym have closed out of business, and that is just downtown. Over the past couple of months, elsewhere, Swill Coffee on Lakeside in Moana, miss it very much. Laughing Planet Restaurant, Homage Bakery, we lost Star Village Coffee, Sabrina's West Street Kitchen. In Sparks, we lost Patty and Irene's. I can't imagine Victorian Square without Patty and Irene's. Now, here's what a restaurateur wrote on Nextdoor today. Before you start rampaging against those greedy landlords, this man is a restaurateur, and this is what he wrote about our local small businesses. Capital costs and regulations are crushing both landlords and tenants. A simple repair that used to cost $85 is now $500 to $1,000 in a restaurant. An AC unit that used to cost $6,000 is now $30,000. R22 has been banned. R404, whatever that is, has been banned. New systems and replacements are required. Health codes require UL-compliant equipment, which is incredibly expensive. Regulations are forcing these changes. Leases now force unsuspecting tenants to pay for the costs of the building maintenance and repairs. We continue to see these issues play out. The solution is for businesses to do their due diligence. We have walked away, the person who wrote this, we have walked away from dozens of opportunities because the landlords wanted to screw us. Remember the simple rule before signing a lease, small business. The landlord's only concern is to collect rent. 90% of businesses will fail in 5 years. That's not opinion, by the way. That is a fact. He says, I had a friend of ours open a restaurant, and the landlord made him collateralize his house. I told him, don't do that. He didn't listen and lost his house. Landlords know the game. We used to have a thing here. They were called local family-owned drugstores. I want to get into that after Fox News and local news. Local news with Phil Galbraith filling in for Greg Neff down this morning. My name is John Potter. I'm here every Saturday, 9 to noon. Got a break for Fox News and local news. That's up next. I'll be back with you shortly on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1129.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Talk, 99.1 and 92.3.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back, John Potter, live and local. We finally hit 40 degrees outdoors. I want to say a big thank you and God bless to the volunteers who went out to a very cold cemetery in Fernley and gathered hundreds of wreaths at the Northern Nevada Veterans Memorial Cemetery. They started bright and early, I think, at about 8:30 this morning doing this. The graves, of course, were all dressed up with 8,600 wreaths from the annual Wreaths Across America, which we made a very big deal of a couple of weeks ago in December. So what happens to the wreaths? Well, the goats get to eat them, which is so Nevada. let's go to the texts. Let me pull those up here and see what folks are saying there at 884-9910. Okay, John, when I was a kid starting to drive, my dad told me to get me a piece of black plastic from the hardware store and four rubber cords, tie the ends to the rubber, hook them rather to the wheels, and you'll never have to scrape your windshield again. Bonus, if it snows, you can just pull it off. Yes, you have to fold it up and put it in the trunk. Sorry to be such a bother, and you have to remember to put it on. But it sure as heck beats the scraping. That's your advice from Grandpa Charlie. I did endlessly go on about how I am so over it, scraping the windshield. Again, I'm not like these fancy folks with a garage and all. Also, talking about Iran this morning, John, it is a religious oppression. They literally have religious police over there, and if you do something that's outside their particular brand of Islam, you can be beaten on the spot and taken off and arrested. Oh, I know. And, you know, a couple of years ago, there was a woman out walking, and she was like a little bit of an activist or whatever, but she wanted to walk without that head covering that AOC always wears. And she didn't want to wear it, so she walked outside and was taken in and murdered. That's that world. That's that version of that faith. And here's the weird thing that I didn't bring up before, is that the criticism of Iran has largely come from Donald Trump and from Israel. And, you know, a lot of the left, they don't like Donald Trump or Israel. And so it's been kind of an odd kind of dance. Most of the Democrats have not wanting to criticize Iran for fear of seeming to be on the same side of something as Donald Trump is. But at any rate, my observation is that Iran is run by the devil. It's an evil, sinister country. It's a people oppressed under the boot of these Ayatollahs. And these religious extremists have been on the neck of the Persian people for a long time. And I pray for liberation. And I can't begin to imagine the difficulties they face. There are two countries, in all honesty, in 2026. If these two countries could have an overturning of their governments, it would change the world, and the residents of those countries would be tremendously the better for it. They are Iran and Cuba. I don't bother with North Korea. They're just pipsqueaks. But those two countries that may be hovering on the verge of collapse, and if they could go away, I wish they would do so. At any rate, pray for Iran. I also teased that we'll talk about something we used to have here in Northern Nevada, specifically Reno. We had a thing here called local family-owned drugstores. And I was thinking of this just yesterday. I was walking downtown, and I saw the faded letters on the brick of one building. You will see the building. It's still there. It's right near the river at the corner of Lake and First Streets. It's a single-level building. It's attached to that strange, weird three-story AT&T building on Sierra and First. Gosh, what is inside that thing? nice building, three stories with what looks like fake windows. Anyway, the old First and Lake building lately has been the home of bars and restaurants, mainly for to-go food. Places like, we have the Phone Booth Lounge, I remember there. There was Men Wielding Fire. Chicago Pizza was there, and now it's a restaurant by the name of King Sushi. And right to the left of the door to King Sushi, look for the faded words etched in stone or painted. Maybe etched. It's linked to its builder and its Italian heritage. The stone column on the corner, that is etched in for sure. So you look at the words on this stone column at the corner of the building. It bears the family name and the year of construction. It says DeLucci Building, 1948. Severi and Gooden's Pharmacy was one of the DeLucci Building's original tenants, occupying the corner of Lake and First Streets. And there was owner Ernie Severi. He closed the pharmacy doors in 2000 after a gradual decline in business, mainly because of the changing nature of Lake Street. But do you remember the family-owned local mom-and-pop drugstores? I think the industry that has been most ruined by chains are those pharmacies. Restaurants? We have those chains too, but we still have lots of homegrown independent restaurants. We hardly have any independent Reno Sparks-based drugstores. And when I think of what we had, oh man, I got memories for you. Drugstores, Thrifty Ice Cream on California Avenue, where Long's was and CVS is. They had chocolate chip, butter pecan, Rocky Road, mint and chip, double chalk, marble crunch, lemon custard, black cherry, chalk malted crunch, and cookie dough. Served on cones at Thrifty Drug. But there was Ernie Severi, and he ran Severi and Gooden's Pharmacy at First and Lake Street, and it was the local drugstore. And in the back, there was kind of this slightly elevated area, and it was all family-run, and it was such a pleasant experience. And the store had some other stuff, you know, you pick up this, you pick up that. You were always greeted pleasantly when you walked in the door. There was always some kind of conversation, and within a year or two, they knew your story. And it was kind of how you kept up with what was going on in town. And this is before the obnoxious Facebook pages that every town now has come into being with. So we had to talk to real people, and I loved going down there. And that's where my doctor sent my prescriptions in the 70s. And if you needed something in the middle of the night, you could call and you get Mr. Severi, and he would come down and he would get you a prescription in the dark of the night. Why would he do that? I think it was because he cared, because he had chosen a profession of service. He had chosen to serve his hometown, and he served his hometown well. And after a while, a sign went up that said they were going away. And that he sold his practice to, forgive me, I was it Rite Aid? He would have a job at Rite Aid, and he would be their chief pharmacist in some new building. And so a new building got built, and Rite Aid would open up and down there, and Severi and Gooden's Pharmacy was gone. And the Rite Aid was there for some many years, and then they were bought out by somebody, I can't remember, and now the drugstore experience is not many windows. You go in, there's stuff behind plastic cabinet doors. They hardly have anything, and it's basically one of those drugstores built for a thieving America. I mean, it's a fortress. And God bless the people who work there. I'm sure they're fine people, but I'm sure not going to get much of a conversation from one of them. I mean, I go in there once a month or every 2 or 3 months, depending on how often they choose to give me, you know, the prescription. And I'm like, hey, how are you? And it's like, you know, wake the frick up. I mean, are you people are lifeless. Anyway, I think of this because Rite Aid is now gone, not just here, but across America. Rite Aid no more, and it will never come back. It has ceased to be a company. It's history now. And what happened to Cerveri and Gooden's Pharmacy in little downtown Reno has happened to thousands of pharmacies in little towns and cities and neighborhoods just like that all across America. The local places got shut down, and that community gathering, when you went to get your prescription, those all went away, and they brought in these antiseptic, dull, lifeless pharmacies. And over time, many of them have gone out of business, and now maybe you go to Costco or something for your pills. And Costco has nice people at the pharmacy, but as I stand there in line, and you know there's always a line, there's a part of me that wants to raise my hand and say, can we go back to how it was? Could we get another Mr. Cerveri to come in here and get friendly, talky ladies here behind the counter, some people, and we can chat it up and have some conversations and, you know, be among friends again? Can I go buy my pills without feeling like I'm in the Soviet Union? Would that be possible? So God bless the memory of the humble drugstore. You know, back in the day, we had them, and back in the day, they were pretty swell. Now when you try to chat up the pharmacist or something, boy, the people behind you don't like it. Get it done. Get in and out. That's what it is now. All right, let's take a final break here and the final chance for you to call in. And if you do, you're up next. Open topic here. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1146.
99.1, the FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk, 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. FM News Talk Time. It's 1149, 41 degrees, our current temperature in Reno. Just catching up with all of these texts. John, this is in reference to the guy who said I-80 needs to be widened so the disabled cars and fender benders can pull off to the shoulder. He was right 100%. All right. Thank you much. I think that one, some I can't read. John, go to a proper fit. They're the best. They took good care of me. Yes.
I got to say yes to that. Michael and his crew, they're one of our clients. They're open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Never had a bad conversation with them about anything, so.
Yes, you folks who tuned in just now, why the heck is John Potter talking about shoes? Because I pushed it, and I wore sandals to Skipolini's last night, and it attracted some not too terribly friendly looks. I have pushed the sandals as far as they can go, and it should definitely not be worn after Christmas. John, I grew up sitting at the counter at Cerveri's drugstore. Ah, God bless you. I love it when people bring back a name like that. And it all started when I saw that sign painted on the wall of that brick. They tore down something, and there the sign appeared. Okay. Appreciate those. Here's a story. Channel 2 posted yesterday, the Friday, Channel 2. Senators Cortez Masto, this is the headline. Senators Cortez Masto, Blackburn, introduced bill to keep postal operations local. And the story reads, the Protect Postal Performance Act would put safeguards in place to keep the United States Postal Service from moving mail processing operations from Reno to Sacramento without public oversight. In 2024, USPS said it would relocate mail operations from Reno to Sacramento, but later abandoned its plan. Senators Catherine Cortez Masto and Jackie Rosen, D, Nevada, eventually got USPS to publicly commit to abandoning this plan. Okay, and then at the very bottom of the article it says, Senator Catherine Cortez Masto contributed to to this report. I'm just picturing Catherine Cortez Masto in the Channel 2 newsroom typing up this story for them. But that's basically what this is. And at least, hey, at least they're honest about these stories now. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto contributed to this report. Now here's the same story, and thank you to Nevada Appeal for writing an honest story. Their article reads, U.S. Senators Catherine Cortez Masto and Jackie Rosen, Representative Mark Amaday and Governor Joe Lombardo urged the USPS Board of Governors to stop what they call a disruptive change to Reno's processing facility. The congressional delegation said severe weather over the Sierra Nevada would delay the mail. During the winter of 23-24, storms periodically closed I-80. Earlier this year, after a major storm slammed the Sierra, Amaday said the proposal was made with little care or understanding of the ramifications it could pose for his constituents. Lombardo reaffirmed in May his opposition to the proposed downsizing and relocation of the Reno facility. No! Channel 2 says it was all just Catherine Cortez Masto. What are you talking about? You see what I had to deal with. Okay, ICE latest. We have big protests planned in Minneapolis today. And a federal, you know, it's a shame. Catherine Cortez Masto cannot mention the fact that Mark Amaday has been working behind the scenes and that Joe Lombardo was involved in this too. It wasn't just her. Anyway, big protests in Minneapolis today. A federal judge has ordered ICE agents to stop retaliating against peaceful protesters and observers there. U.S. District Judge Catherine Menendez barred ICE agents from arresting or pepper spraying people for, quote, observing or criticizing the federal government's actions. The judge also ruled that safely following ICE vehicles does not on its own justify a traffic stop. You can take that as an invitation to continue to harass these officers. Really, you look at our cable news, by the way, and the story, depending on what channel you watch on cable news, it's either it was Biden completely opening the border and gaslighting us about it, or it's Trump sending the military to rappel out of helicopters to tackle two guys in line at Home Depot. I mean, our life is now just endlessly swinging between these extremes every 4 years. But I don't think people in Reno really want ICE hunting down immigrants randomly on the street. But they also want ICE to capture known immigrant criminals. What we want is an end to the hyperbole. Our ICE detention facilities are not concentration camps. Network news watchers are being manipulated on a daily basis to be upset about something. People who hate the things that this country stands for are intentionally magnifying every news item imaginable to just get people upset. We don't really riot. You know, when in Reno, anytime we see people trying to protest some law or some activist movement, has me thinking these people aren't from here. We don't have riot. In the 1970s, the only protest riot I ever saw in Reno, the only one, was the 1979 riot that tore up downtown on New Year's Eve. And this riot was because it was New Year's Eve and the crowd was drunk. It wasn't over anything political. It was kind of refreshing, really. And personally, I won't feel like all is lost, even if everything we all know is replaced with whatever's coming. I only have a few decades of time left, and no matter what happens, I will never forget how things were, and especially the dreams I had of a great future when I was a kid. And those dreams can always be real in your imagination. I love Nevada, and because we have been a people to mind our own business, that's the reason I don't see myself leaving. Well, in a pine box, yeah, but that's a while away. Somebody, I think on Reddit, express these things better than I ever could. But it's the political parties and the media that need to take responsibility for the environment that led to three kids not having a mom anymore. And as for the president, yeah, Obama deported more people, but he did it without all the theatrics that this administration has. They can be deported humanely, you know, without all this. The broad sweeps by ICE have led to a lot of frustration all over the U.S., but the answer to that frustration, it's boring. It's write your congressman, your senator, talk politely to your friends who feel differently than you about ICE. The solution is not to form groups to hunt down ICE agents, to harass and impede them from carrying out their legal, even if unpopular, arrests and investigations. That's illegal, and you'll, well, you know the story. You know this. It's common sense. Anyway, yeah, I hope you had a good time listening to the show. Be back next Saturday, 9 to noon, on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Thanks for putting up with me again. Craig, thanks for running things out there in Carson City. Do appreciate it. And thanks to our callers and our texters. You make my day. Have yourself a great weekend. Miss you all, folks, and talk to you later. Take care. Fox News is next.